What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And this week we are talking about, well, in the next 2 weeks, we're talking about two horror movies with no dead dogs.
We get asked this a lot on the podcast, and there are not a lot of answers.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. So many horror movies kill dogs.
I think it's easy to do in the story progression where you want to, like, advance the terror, but you don't want to quite start killing the family yet. Yeah, so they always, like, dog is dead on the porch.
Yeah, you know.
Ghosts just fucking hate family pets.
It's also like home invasion movies, slasher movies. You kill the dog and you're like, this guy means business.
Well, I guess too, you don't want to alert that you're there. So like if a dog is barking because you're an intruder, I get it. But in this movie, the dog is super helpful.
Yep.
And she makes it to the end.
Makes it to the end. There's no worries about it. If you've been putting off watching Crawl from Alexandre Aja, the guy who is known for the French extremity movement, a guy who at one point had to have Wes Craven talk him out of putting kittens in a blender for The Hills Have Eyes. That was his original idea. He made a movie with a very cute dog that makes it right through to the end. If you've got any concerns, you don't need to worry about Crawl.
I want to hear more about this kittens in a blender story.
You haven't heard about this?
I feel like you've maybe mentioned it before, but I am still stunned.
Yeah, so The Hills Have Eyes, the Wes Craven's Hills Have Eyes, was brutal, gritty, grimy, and it had a reputation for being in your face and confrontational. And when Alexandre Aja went to go make the Americanized remake, he was doing the same.
Well, I think Wes Craven had seen High Tension and he was like, I need this dude to do the Hills Have Eyes remake.
And in the screenplay, they had a scene where the crazy mountain people put some kittens that the family had in a blender and just chopped them up. And Wes Craven was basically just like, hey, I love what you guys are doing here.
Hey, great stuff here. Yeah. Love what you've done on page 10. But the kittens, can we keep them?
Yeah, he essentially told him that, like, you can get away with a lot of stuff, and they get away with a lot. In that movie. That movie's crazy. I've been wanting to talk about it on the podcast for a while, actually. But he did say that at some point, like, there is a line that if you cross it, you will not get the audience back. It doesn't matter how early in the movie you cross that line. Once you cross it, you're toast. That you cannot win them over again. And if, you know, the concern was that if they did that, there's no way that you'd ever get the audience back on side. They would just, like, have a knot in their stomach. They would hate the movie. They'd hate you for making them watch it. And there's no redemption from there.
Says the man who made Last House on the Left.
Right? That's the thing. Wes Craven has made some of the, you know, not safe for work, not safe for life kind of movies, you know, alongside Vampire in Brooklyn. He's just really smart. He knows how audiences will react to movies. And the one thing everybody wants when they see a cute dog in a horror movie, everybody wants to see the dog make it to the end. And Sugar makes it to the end. In fact, that's our good thing number one about Crawl. That's going to be our good thing about the next two episodes, the next two movies we're talking about. No dead doggos. Good thing number two, Kim. What do you got?
So this is a creature feature, and it's not just a creature feature because there's, you know, doggos in it and the doggos survive.
You would never call a movie with a dog a creature feature.
Okay. I was just trying to segue into the fact that this movie has a shit ton of alligators in it.
Yeah. Maximum gator.
So much gator. Yeah, you think it's a single gator movie, but you're wrong. And the movie, and that's not even a spoiler. The movie is like, hey, we got gators 10 minutes in.
Oh, man, I would hate if we had to wait an hour for gators. We're like, oh, we're stuck in the basement. How are we going to get out of the basement? The hurricane's the real monster
here. I feel like most movies would have done that.
I agree.
We'll talk about it.
Okay, and good thing number three. So we got no dead doggos, maximum gators, and confined location. We are in one spot. We're just trying to escape a house the entire movie. We spend most of the movie in the crawl space of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a single location horror movie.
Yeah, and every time they seem to get out of the house, the world just, like, rainstorms them back into the house.
It's fucking great.
It's great.
Yeah, this is an episode we've been looking forward to doing for a long time. They actually announced that there's going to be a sequel to Crawl earlier this year, not long ago. So we got another one on the horizon. Alexandra Aja's got a horror movie in the theater this year. This month, actually, I think. And we've been watching crocodile movies this summer. We watched Crocodile. We watched Eaten Alive, Toby Hooper's crocodile movie.
Which is more of like a hotel murder movie with a crocodile in it.
It's like Psycho with Vietnam PTSD. And oh, also there's a crocodile here. And yeah, Crawl, I've been wanting to talk about it. I'm happy that we're going full gator summer over here at Nightmare on Film Street. But yeah, more importantly, we've been wanting to talk about movies where dogs don't die, because I know that's a big thing for some people. And yeah, it can be hard sometimes to try and find a horror movie where the dog makes it out okay. The original title for this episode was No Dead Doggos for Dada, because Kim and I are nuts about Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror.
But that was just way too long for SEO.
Way too long for SEO, way too niche for anybody out there, because I don't think people think about Planet Terror the way we think about Planet Terror. Like, personally, I think that movie's a fucking 10 out of 10. I think you could teach a screenwriting course on the script for that movie.
Oh, man, so many great Chekhov's gun moments in that script.
You got Chekhov's dance, Chekhov's wooden leg.
Chekhov's needles.
Chekhov's bad one-liner about never missing.
Chekhov's twin babysitters.
Chekhov's jar full of balls.
I was going to say Chekhov's ball joke.
Okay, well, anyway, we're going to toss the trailer for Crawl, and when we get back, we're going to gator country.
The state of Florida has issued a Category 5 hurricane warning. All residents must evacuate immediately. Grab your families, your loved ones, and get out.
Dad!
We won't be able to come for you.
Dad! What happened?
Did you hear that?
In less than an hour, we'll be underwater.
Banging on the pipes.
Where's their senses?
I can distract them for you.
You got this!
You need to go now.
I'm not leaving you here!
Okay, do you want to hear something really depressing out the gate?
What?
You want me to fucking bring this house down?
Did they already cancel the sequel to Crawl?
No, the dog was supposed to die in early draft.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah.
I was going to close with this.
There were levels of like how rough it was going to be for Sugar. At one point, they were going to have the family sacrifice her to live.
I heard that.
They were going to have her sacrifice herself for the family to live.
Right. We don't deserve dogs.
Her front paws eaten by the gator.
That's fucking crazy.
Fucking poor Sugar. Like, they abused her in the writing process.
That was going to be my climax for this episode, to talk about, like, not only did she have to fight tooth and nail to make it to the finish line in this movie, she had to be perseverant in the pre-production of this movie. Sugar's spirit was fighting to survive Crawl.
I wonder if the ghost of Wes Craven was there protecting that dog. Like, remember the kittens in the blender? That was my Wes Craven impression.
Very nice. I bet Alexandra Jaw was like, what if it was a puppy? And what if we put it in a blender? Like, that was my impression of Alexandra Jaw.
You know he wanted to murder that dog. Just in the types of films he makes, the tone of the films, I would say Crawl is the most family-friendly version of anything he's ever done before.
What are you talking about? You could take the kids to go see Piranha 3D. Kids love
tits. They gotta see their first titty. but like, everybody survives in this. Dad survives.
Yeah.
Daughter survives.
It's a real daddy-daughter story.
It's a real daddy-daughter story.
And you know Dad's favorite daughter is Sugar. He doesn't return her calls, but he's got the dog all the time.
He didn't return her calls because he was being eaten by an alligator in the basement.
Ah, that wouldn't stop a real Florida dad, and you know it. Okay, look, Crawl from Alexandra Jaw is currently, let's get some housekeeping out of the way, currently sitting at a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Letterboxd so sassy.
Letterboxd real sassy. That's mostly people reevaluating it, I guess. And I gotta tell you, watching it in 2024, the special effects don't look as good as they did back in 2019. Because I remember thinking that it looked incredible. That these gators.
I don't think I ever thought it looked incredible. But also, I don't care.
I don't really either.
Do I care? I don't.
All I'm saying is, if you are downvoting Crawl on a rewatch because the special effects don't necessarily hold up, you might want to check some of those opinions you have about Alien Romulus right now. Because I'm telling you, if you don't think it looks goofy, it's going to look like a fucking cartoon in 16 months from now.
Are you okay?
No.
Can I have this soapbox back?
I'll get off it, yeah. Okay, like, I just think that if that's what we're holding against it, I think you're forgetting how fun the movie is. Like, we don't have to be sitting here judging the CGI of the gators. We just need to enjoy it when they rip people apart.
Also, it is, a movie like this could not have been made in 1980. It would be impossible to do a gator home invasion movie. Let's all be a little realistic here. It couldn't be done.
No.
There are some practical moments. You get a couple
you
real...
You get like a gator tail.
A couple real flashes of gator tail.
There is a wonderful little moment where we are visually looking through the teeth of a crocodile. And I think that's practical. I think it's just like a fake crocodile head. Like where we're watching, you know, the lead actor sort of like hiding. But the camera is going through the gator teeth. Amazing. And then, yeah, you get a teeny little gator foot or a teeny little gator tail every once in a while going around a corner. Yeah, it looks awesome.
A whisper of authenticity. Yeah, I'm not looking for realism out of my gator movies. Maybe it's because I judge a creature feature on like a different standard. Mm. I'm not like, I don't know, that Godzilla suit looks like it's got a zipper on the back. Like,
right? If you had to watch this movie at the drive-in, it wouldn't have mattered. Like, you try watching this on an 8K TV or like the laser projection at the Dolby Atmos theater. Like, yeah, okay, maybe it's not going to hold up to those standards. But through your dirty windshield screen, 100 feet away from a rusting drive-in screen, it looks crisp and clear. I never think of this as a home invasion movie. And of course it is. I'm always just like, oh, it's a movie where they're trying to survive a hurricane and there happen to be gators around. The fact that the gators have literally infiltrated the house through like the sewage over drain, they've literally invaded the house, never occurs to me that it's a home invasion movie.
Well, and the thing too is that we learn throughout is that the gators are living there.
Yo, this is the gators' home.
The
now.
Gators are squatting. They have rights.
Right? Like, okay, so your family has broken up and split up and moved away, and you can't...
Yeah, like, your gators have left the nest.
You can't give up the family home? Well, tough shit, because they've already made it their house. They've got babies there.
I mean, you gotta... The eggs are there.
Yeah.
You can't fuck with it.
They didn't tell you this is a squatter's rights scenario,
yes,
is what you're saying?
Yes.
I mean, well, clearly... The house has been empty long enough that they've gotten in and they've made a nest.
Well, and just, I know we're in a hurricane, and so, like, we gotta give the house some credit for what it looks like, but the area where the storm drain is, it looks like a gator's den. It doesn't look like a house.
It looks brackish.
Like, is that leading straight to the river? Like, what is the deal there?
Frankly, I don't know, because across the street, there's a convenience store, so...
Yeah, like, are they on a lake? I guess they are. Or the ocean?
I don't know. I mean, like, the way their basement...
Alligators are freshwater, and crocodiles are saltwater, so it would have to be a river, and they wouldn't be on the ocean.
Okay, this leads me to a fun little segment. I don't mean to completely detour the podcast, but I have put together a little quiz for Kim.
Oh, God!
Okay, Kim. I have a quick little compilation of like the differences between alligators and crocodiles, but I think that's going to give away the answers to my little quiz here. So I think maybe we just hop into this and we see how good you are.
Okay, so I do know, because I knew you were going to ask me.
Okay.
I know that alligators have round mouths. And crocodiles have V-shaped mouths.
Okay, well, given that...
Oh, wait, is it the other way around? Oh, no!
Which reptile between crocodiles... So I'll give you a hint.
Are my only options A or B, alligator, or A or C, alligator or crocodile?
Exactly it. Yeah, okay. That's the only answer I'm looking for.
Okay.
Which reptile would be more likely to pull off wearing sunglasses and a leather jacket given its cooler saltwater habit?
Which one's cooler? Crocodile.
The answer is, in fact, crocodile, because it lives in salt water and it likes cooler climates. Now, if a reptile were to start a fashion line called Swamp Chic, featuring earth tones and an effortless sense of style, which one would it be?
Okay, well...
Can I ask that question?
I'm assuming that we're talking about Florida, the swamp. Alligators.
Yes, alligators.
Crocodiles, I think, can swamp, though. I think they could swamp.
Which of these reptiles starred in the classic horror film Lake Placid?
Oh, shit.
Was that a crocodile or was that an alligator?
Okay, so I know it's...
Who was Betty White feeding?
I know it's a pond, but I think it's atypical. Like, I think it's because it's huge, I think it's a crocodile.
Is that your final answer?
You're making me feel like I'm wrong now. You're asking final answer things. Yes, I'm going to say crocodile.
You sure you don't want to switch it? It's crocodile.
Okay, yeah, because it's weird that it's in the pond, right?
I think that was it, yeah. But isn't it in Louisiana? Like, I think that... Oh, no, you're right.
Because it's huge. And I think crocodiles are bigger than alligators.
This is the last one. All right, if you were planning a tropical vacation, which of these two monsters is more likely to give you... to be your tour guide in the kind of coastal sunny paradise?
Are they talking about Florida? Alligators!
The answer is crocodile.
What?
Which one are you more likely to see down under in Australia?
Crocodile.
The answer is alligator.
What? Is that true?
I rephrase this a little bit. Oh no, the answer is crocodile. Yeah. Okay, so I was looking at the answer for the wrong question. I'm so sorry. Yes, of course. If you were to meet one of these two in Australia and it was going to introduce you to some kangaroos, it would have been a crocodile. Good work, Kim. I think you did pretty good on our little quiz.
You know how I figured it out? Because I can't see an Australian person being like, alligator. I crocodile felt yeah. more. Like, croc.
That's a croc right there. That's actually pretty good. That's a not a bad way of solving that puzzle. We might be too old for free candy, but we're not going to let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over in the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club at Patreon.
Each week, we're going to be pulling movies at random from our spooky trick-or-treat basket. It's a Halloween boo bucket from McDonald's. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play trick-or-treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast. You can find those episodes only at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
Or patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right. I feel like we've all learned a lot today.
I didn't know that alligators hung out and nested together. Just because alligators look like assholes. So I just assume that mom has the eggs and is like, get out of here, everybody else. And it's just her and her eggs. But, I mean, who knows if this is factually accurate.
I was going to say, like, I did forget that this was produced by National Geographic. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, just, it's just scarier if there's eight of them.
I was just expecting it to be a lone crocodile situation. I feel like me and a lot of other people going to see this movie in 2019 were like, I'm excited to see that solo crocodile movie.
That's how it always is. And I think that's because you usually are commissioning, like, one fake animatronic crocodile.
Mm.
And that's a lot easier to do. But if you're doing the CGI route, you can get away with anything.
You're like, we're going to do a neighborhood block, and it's going to have 13 crocodiles.
We're going to get...
I mean, gators, sorry. Yeah. Oh, God.
We're going to get an entire
street gang. Crocodile's
going to
be mad.
They get a whole street gang of gators in this movie, right?
Because there are gators that are living in the house. There are gators that are hanging out at the convenience store. Like, gators are just
there are loitering gators.
They are just loving this hurricane weather.
What's your favorite kill?
I mean, there aren't many.
There's not a lot, but like, there's a lot of great crocodile attack moments. I think number one with a bullet has to be the cop that gets sort of like spun around 360. Gator just grabs him by the feet, spins him around like a top, slams him in the water.
The one that I think is the most surprising is the cop that's like at the basement doors.
Yeah.
Like the storm doors. Yeah. And he gets chomperooed.
Because it bites his torso.
Yeah, that's not a great place to be chomped, I gotta admit.
Yeah, oh man, when dad gets his arm ripped off, that's a killer moment.
So the movie, even though the lead characters have a little bit of plot armor and they're safe,
sure. Yeah.
Everybody gets bitten a lot.
Yeah, and early too.
Yes, like we are injured before the water even starts rising. So before the hurricane has even become like another foe in this, everybody's starting out injured.
Yeah.
We got splints on legs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. There's that scene where dad has to set his leg back together, and he's using just like a wrench and a belt to just snap his bone back into place. Fucking hurts. Like, it's good sound design too, because like you really hear it crack while he's doing it. I don't like it. I secretly am like terrified that I'll break a bone again. Like, as a teenager, you're like, oh, you know, if you break a bone, you break a bone. That's just part of being a teenager. But now as an adult, if I break anything, even my nose, and I gotta get my nose put back together, I'm gonna be a little bitch about it.
You see, the bone thing was like, it's gross when you see it. They did a really great job of like having the bone.
Oh,
like,
where he's trying to move his leg.
Yeah, and you can see it. Like, that was all really great special effects. But the thing that bothered me throughout, like the anxiety-inducing thing for me in this movie, was that they were constantly in water, which credit to the actors, because I bet that was the worst shoot ever. They were in water the whole movie, just wading water. But the wounds on the bottom half of their bodies, I was just like, everyone's getting sepsis. Why are we even trying to survive this?
Don't
hurricane?
Even tourniquet this. It doesn't matter.
You're in gross hurricane water. You've already walked past a bunch of dead ferrets and skunks and whatever else was living under the house.
There's so much gator poop everywhere.
This water ain't clean.
Even if it was just water filling the gross ground of their basement. Because the way their basement's constructed must just be like a common Florida thing, because like the way the bricks are put, it looks like it's made for water to get in and for air to circulate to dry the place out.
Yeah, because like, it is almost like it's a lift, like it's on a porch kind of thing.
I don't think you can escape it. I think if you're living in a place like Florida, it's just like, hey, you're gonna get water damaged, you need to try and reduce the water damage.
Yeah, factual stuff here, the factual segment of the podcast.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So our house, we also live on a high water table.
Okay.
And so we don't have a basement, we have a crawl space, but our crawl space is like underground.
Most crawl spaces are, I think.
Like, gators aren't getting in our crawl space.
Oh, I see what you're saying. There's no way a gator's getting in.
Unless they want old Halloween costumes. Gators.
There's nothing for them down there.
No.
Like, unless you want a cool wolf mask, which I'm telling you, it'd be great. Like a gator walking around in the night in the Invisible Man's smoking jacket. I'm fine with it. If they come busting out of that crawl space gate and they're fully dressed.
Immediately you're like, squatter's rights.
Oh, fuck, that's funny. I love the gator attacks in this movie, man. Like, they...
John doesn't want to talk about home settlements with me.
Nah, home stuff's boring, you know? Like, what else is there to say?
I guess, but if you're in a hurricane area, don't you think they should have had, like, a storm cellar? Or was that the storm cellar?
I think you're supposed like to evacuate.
It looked like a flooding prison.
It seemed like the police were going around telling everyone, leave now.
And they had a boat.
My favorite part of this movie is when they both get out of the house and they have seen a group of robbers come to the convenience store and a group of police officers come to their door in boats, and they go, where's the car? Like, they get out and they're shocked that the water has taken the car away. Like, there's no fucking way you were ever going to be driving out. The whole ticking clock for the first half of the movie is, we got to get out of this basement or we're going to drown down here.
At least the dinghy that the robbers are in is out early. Like, I think the water at the house at that point is only like a foot or so.
Yeah, like it still hasn't filled the basement yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, when the cops show up, the only way you're getting around is by boat.
Yeah, because they have like a full out police hover boat.
Yeah. It's good stuff. And they finally get out, and then the purge siren goes off, and the hurricane comes storming in just as they're maybe gonna get out of there. Fucking huge ass wave just pushes them back into the house. That's when I'd quit. It's not that I'm like, oh, there's no way I can fist fight a gator. It's like, oh man, I'm just tired of this. I've been trying so hard to get out of here.
I feel like they had to 1-2 skip a few. So once we get out of the basement, like the basement in itself was a whole big challenge.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I think the original screenplay was just in the basement.
I had heard
like
that.
If there's a gator in the basement, we're stuck in the basement, we gotta get out.
Yeah.
Because the gator's huge and broke the ladder.
Oh, so this was a one gator scenario.
Yeah. The second parter of the movie is like the floor is lava.
Oh my God.
It really
is.
In the kitchen scenario. So I think they really were just like, how are we going to get the water up high enough? Like, okay, so it's rising in the basement, whatever, but realistically, how is it going to rise in the main floor? The world would have to be flooded. So they just were like, fuck it, we'll just flood the world real quick.
We'll just flood the world.
And they did.
Yeah, no, it's got a great sequence where she locks a gator inside a sliding glass door for a shower. This is where Dad gets his arm taken off. This is, oh man, there's plenty of scenes in here where we're like really not sure whether Sugar's gonna make it out alive.
They didn't update enough on Sugar in this segment.
Yeah, 20 minutes would go by and you're like, what's the dog up to? What's going on? I haven't heard her bark in a little while.
I saw her swim, but I haven't seen her in a bit. Just show her on the stairs, please.
Oh, and long lingering shots where she's swimming through the hallway, and like we're underground, we could see her kicking. We're like, you're doing great, Sugar. Just keep going.
Oh, man, I hate... They do that in Creature Features. Like, they do that in The Meg, too, where that poor little dog, Pippin...
There's no way anybody's killing Pippin.
With his little bow is swimming, and you're like, I don't want to see a huge shark underneath this dog. It'll make me mad.
So the trouble with The Meg is that it's a comedy. Like, it's not fully out and out comedy, but it is very comedic. So, like, you could see them building a gag to kill a dog, like to chomp a dog. But in Crawl, it's kind of a humorless movie.
Yeah, like if you see the gator behind the dog,
you're like, oh, this is it. The camera's moving slowly away. Like, maybe we're in the POV of a gator. It's really uncertain whether or not anything's going to happen to Sugar. And I thought that when you were talking about the anxiety of the movie, I didn't realize you were talking about having your feet, like, waterlogged or something.
I wasn't talking about waterlogged.
You're like, oh, these actors, they must have been so pruney.
No, it was the open wounds. Not the the performances, the open wounds.
I thought the anxiety you were talking about was for Sugar, because that's 100% what they're playing on. The longer, and I think this was a smarter choice, rather than killing the dog early or having the dog sacrifice itself at the end of the movie. Like, can you imagine that, like, the parents or the father and the daughter, they're trying to formulate a plan. You can tell in their voice that they really don't think they're going to make it out of here. But, you know, just to, like, hold on to something. Okay, now what we're going to do, we're going to go do this. And then the dog just puts a paw on their mouth. It's like, shh, I've got this. And then just like, hi-ya! Jumps and sacrifices itself. That would have been an incredible sequence. But the longer you can keep Sugar alive, the more you have something for the audience to be worried about. And I think that's something.
We're not worried about the humans?
No, they're horrible people. You know, like they've ruined their marriages. They've killed every relationship
they've
ever had.
But they're repairing their bond.
And you know who has taught them that life's too short and you gotta just appreciate the people that you're with?
Hurricane.
The dog. This is the best part. This is why nobody wants to see dogs die in movies, because we don't deserve them. They're better than us on our best day. They never judge us. They're always there for us.
He says that, but our dogs poo in the pumpkin patch all the time and he hates
it. Pisses me off so much. Nah, Sugar's just a cute dog, and like nobody wants to see a cute dog get killed. And yeah, like the longer that they can hold on to that, the more they can wring the tension out of it. And I'm very happy to see at the end of the day that we punched a bunch of gators in the face. Like, we hit a gator with a shovel. We stabbed a gator with a screwdriver. I wouldn't have been surprised to see Sugar karate chop a gator by the end of the movie. But we make it out onto the roof. We get rescued. And we don't have a big lingering scene at the end of the movie
comes to her next swim meet.
Yeah. And like, oh, and then mom's maybe there. Like, she comes through the door and like, oh, it's like we're all together
and
again.
And Sugar's got like a little cast on one of her paws.
Okay, well, now I want that scene. Yeah, no, the movie ends at the exact right time. We get out, we're all safe, everything's great. We got to fight a bunch of gators along the way. They're never selling that house. That's the one thing I learned at the end of this movie.
The good thing, though, is that he didn't want to sell the house, and now he doesn't have to because it's totaled.
Yeah, if they're going to get the insurance
money.
They
collect the insurance, and then they're going to move on.
And they rebuild.
So, okay, alligators haunting your house, a little far-fetched.
Okay.
It's hard to put yourself in... Like, as a home invasion movie, it's hard to put yourself in that experience and be like, this is super terrifying. Does the hurricane stuff get to you at all? Or are you too distracted with the alligators? Like, how do you feel about having kind of two forces in this movie? Does it come to play for you? Or are you just kind of like, yeah, water's rising?
No, I love it. I think that's the magic. Not magic, but I think, like, that's the secret sauce of this movie, because they have to get out. Otherwise, the hurricane will kill them.
Yeah.
And what's stopping them from leaving is the gators. You know, like, it's a twofold thing. The real problem is actually the hurricane.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's kind of a novelty too, I guess, for us, because we're not in that type of weather environment. Like, there's very low risk of us in our land-bound Canadian province of experiencing a hurricane. So that's kind of a weather event that has a novelty to it, in lack of better terms. But
we are real close to tornado town, though.
We are experiencing tornado warnings in a way I never have before.
I don't know. Like, at least hurricanes, you're like, it's hurricane season, let us leave. They'll give us a bit of a heads up. Tornadoes are like, take cover now.
What do you mean, alley? What do you mean we're in an alley? So I think that that's something unique and fun. Like, not only are we getting, you know, like gators, which is like a down south thing that we have to go on a swamp tour to go see.
Yeah.
But you're also getting the hurricane experience, which I think Florida and a lot of southern coastal towns generally have to deal with like every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Most creature features are just like, oh, you happened into a bad scenario. You fell asleep in a pool while it emptied and now you have to fight a gator.
That is a good movie.
or you know, you just went on a vacation and now all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of lions around, you know, something like that.
The safari truck won't start.
Exactly. Yeah. This one has a completely different angle to it. And I think it's what makes it a little bit more unique.
Yeah. And I think too, Haley, even though they've kind of set it up that she's a very proficient swimmer, she's a professional swimmer, a little hurricane ain't going to slow her down. It's scary. The fact that there's barricades and she's driving past, they've evacuated the area that she's driving into. I mean, I don't know much about Category 5 hurricane, but Category 5 sounds like the bad one.
It sounds like that you evacuate town and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Board your windows and fingers crossed everything's here when you return.
Yeah. I don't even know if you need the alligators.
Yeah, right?
If he had just maybe gotten an injury and been down there, that could have been a survival story, just getting out.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the water came in and he hit his head, or like a pipe fell on him because the house is falling apart. He could have just had a beam fall on him and he's pinned now.
Yeah, I can't believe he was working on the house during a hurricane.
He can't let go, Kim.
What was his plan? What did he say when she's like, what are you doing down here?
I think
here?
He was just coming to board a few things up.
He's like, I was boarding it up, but also this pipe was leaky, so I figured I would just get that real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, he was like really quickly, like, this is such a dad move, right? He came to the house, oh, the light's not working, oh, the sink's not working. Like, yes, I better just rebuild the whole house this weekend.
You can see the trail of that, though, because she comes in,
yeah.
There's a coffee cup on the counter, his phone is right by the sink, she sees the pipe and it's dripping, and she's like,
and there's
is
a pan
down
under
in the
it?
Fucking basement?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's some great dad detective work.
And the dog, too, is like, death downstairs.
Yeah. Also, I'm not going down there. It smells like alligators.
The dog was smart. The dog never went in the basement.
Yeah.
I was very concerned that...
Dog never went down to the basement once. Not even when people were screaming.
There was a lot of screaming.
Sugar was just like, you guys good down there?
Y'all doing good?
Y'all right?
My bowl can use a tub.
I'll just wait right here for you. It's cool. Oh, man. Okay, so how do you rate Crawl and how do you rate Sugar?
Not enough sugar, actually.
I would have appreciated a little more.
Yeah, especially during the house flooding period. I was very concerned for Sugar. It's like...
Oh, you just wanted to check in.
She was great during the walking to the boat, being held by Dad, all soaking wet. Like, what the fuck is this?
Okay.
I appreciated her facial acting. She did not enjoy being wet. But yeah, we miss her... After the flooding where they're pushed back into the house, we see a little bit of swimming dog and then we don't know where she is.
Kim wanted a split screen version of this movie where we always have one camera trained on Sugar.
We're on Sugar all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm giving Sugar a 4 out of 4. Like just Sugar herself, 4 out of 4. Wonderful dog.
Yeah, she did a great job. And she was on that roof like a pro.
Yeah. Crawl itself.
3.5 out of 4,
yeah.
Oh, I said 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I said 3.5. I like a good summer movie. It's like 87 minutes. We're in and out.
Yeah, no, I appreciated the volume of Gator. I loved the floor is lava. We're on the counter.
Hell
we're
yeah.
On upside down boat.
Great set pieces.
We're trying to get different little tasks. I enjoyed all of that. It was a little heartfelt for me.
Oh, yeah, like that. Like, what are we, honey? You're an apex predator. Like all of that
he's
stuff.
Like, you got to swim. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just movies.
Yeah, you can't
get away from that.
Yeah.
We love a good Gator movie, especially one that doesn't eat a dog. So hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord or on social media anywhere that you follow the podcast. We're either at nofspodcast or at Nightmare on Film Street. Just search one of those two things. You're bound to find us. Let us know what you thought of Alexandra Aja's Crawl. And if you're excited for the eventual sequel that's coming, it's probably not going to hit theaters for like another 3 years. I think they only just announced it, so we've probably got a little bit of time.
If you want even more Nightmare on Film Street, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. There's tons of bonus episodes and cool content there. But until next time, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31-Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunchboxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. Head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us!
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.